A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer. Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer.
And welcome to the Billboard Sharpie podcast. Gary Trust here with a person whose name you know, but maybe not for being a big charts fan. A celebrity blogger, celebrity himself, Perez Hilton. Welcome to the podcast, Perez.
Hello. And fellow podcaster myself. And I have one too. Find that on iTunes.
People know, they know one side of you, probably from the whole celebrity blogging side, but I'm not sure how many people ever really talked to you in depth about music. And the main reason you're on the podcast here is I was told you're a huge charts fan. So first of all, is that true?
Absolutely. I used to go to the shopping mall in back of my house when I was a teenager, and I would buy Billboard magazine. And it was really expensive back then. I think it might still be very expensive. I don't know.
Oh, I was going to say, there's a bunch of us at Billboard who used to read it in like a cigar store or in a library because we loved it, same as you, but couldn't afford it. It was like $6.99 back then. That was
exactly. That's how much it was. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I probably know more about music and things related to that than I do about anything else. Like, you name a song, and I can likely tell you what year it came out and how it did or didn't do or who wrote it and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I probably don't know as much as you or Keith Caulfield, but, you know, I'm just a fan, not a pro.
All chart fans are good. We welcome everybody. Was it music overall? Was it actually chart activity that you liked about Billboard? What actually drew you to read Billboard every week?
I liked it all. I mean, I also liked that not only was I learning about what was doing well, but also learning about what was doing well internationally.
Right.
That was appealing to me because at that point, I didn't even have a computer. I didn't get a computer until I was a senior in college.
That's the big scoop so far. No one's going to believe that for us.
It's true. Up until my senior year of college, I would function on a Brother word processor. And I graduated college in 2000. So up until 99-2000, I just had a Brother word processor. So, I mean, I would have access to the internet, but I would have to go to computer labs. Remember those things?
Yeah.
So in the 90s, when I was in high school without a computer, Billboard was a great way for me to be informed and also to discover new music domestically and internationally, because I've always loved all music, and I always sought it out, and not just what was being played on radio.
So you were born in 1978. And does that mean your favorite music is from your early to mid-teens, which is what we hear most people when they're around 13, 14, 15, that's the music you first get into really deeply and then take with you for the rest of your life? So that would put you in the early to mid-90s as your musical heyday.
Yes and no. I actually first really fell in love with music at age 6 years old. That was when I went to my first concert ever, and it was a transformative experience for me. It was 1984. I went to go see the then still Miami Sound Machine. Didn't have Gloria Estefan in front of the name at that point.
Right.
It was when their Primitive Love album had come out. She was doing well internationally and nationally, but in Miami, she was it. I begged my parents to take me to the concert, and we went. And for the and this is such a long time ago that people, some still do this, but it was more common in the 60s, 70s, and 80s to have a concert with an intermission. And I remember that. The concert had an intermission, and then after the second act was over and it was time for the encore, Gloria Estefan sang Conga. And she invited everybody up on stage who wanted to sing and dance the Conga with her to go up on stage. And of course, instead of sitting in my seat, I ran up on stage and did the Conga with Gloria Estefan at 6 years old. And that was when I knew I was different than most other kids, because that really was such a transformative experience for me. And also around that age is when I also just start having memories that are powerful and ingrained in my brain, specifically about Madonna. Like, I cannot remember a world or my life without her. And she and Gloria were my two, and Janet Jackson also, my two biggest idols. And that was from the mid to late 80s. Then what happened for me in the early and mid 90s was my tastes evolved, and I would say maybe even became a little bit more sophisticated, from just, you know, mainstream pop to a little bit cooler pop. Like in the mid and late 90s is when I discovered three of my favorite females that are still three of my favorites to this day. That's Tori Amos, Jewel, and Sarah McLachlan. And of course I loved Alanis Morissette like everybody else.
Yeah.
But, you know, I discovered Jewel before her album was successful. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning and I was listening to the college radio station, and it was 95. And her album didn't take off, I think, till 96.
Yeah, I remember it at my college station too. It was just like, it was like in a bin, and no one was playing it. Same thing.
Well, I love it, and when that happens, like, you feel such a sense of discovery.
Right.
And I've been fortunate enough in my life and career to have discovered a lot of great artists at the beginning of their career, and to be able to have played a part in helping them and championing them. Everybody from, you know, Amy Winehouse to Adele, Katy Perry, Lady Gaga. I would never take credit for anybody's success, but, you know, a lot of people repeatedly tell me, oh, I first heard so-and-so on your website, or I discovered so-and-so through you, and that means so much to me because I love music. It's my greatest passion in life, and I really do believe that sharing is caring. That's one of the reasons why, you know, over the last few years, I have been releasing these music compilation albums. I release them like twice a year. They're called Pop Up, and they're kind of like my answer to Now That's What They Call Music, or Now That's What You Call Music.
Right.
Because I think that in the U.S. especially, not really just in the U.S., the rest of the world's a lot better at this, but radio in America sucks. It's not like this in other parts of the world. Like in the U.K., Radio 1 will play all different kinds of music. They'll even play unsigned artists that don't have a label deal. That's practically unheard of in the U.S. You know, radio programmers here claim that they have, you know, call-outs and statistics and research and studies that show, that verify that people don't want variety in music. But I just don't believe that.
There are certain formats that are more open to it. Like, you're in Los Angeles, KCSN, KCRW, they really make their living off new music, but those are more niche, AAA, adult alternative stations. Yeah, commercial radio is all about playing the hits. It's competition for our attention.
But I believe in the 90s that those same formats and those same stations just played more volume of artists. They played more artists. Now they just don't play as many.
Well, that's because all we had then was our brother word processors. It was the only other thing we could do other than listen to radio.
But I still think, and not even think, it's still such an important part in the equation.
Right.
I mean, I'm a person of the internet, and I know the power of it. You can accomplish a lot without radio play, but you won't accomplish enough without radio play. Like, one of the greatest examples is, or two of the greatest examples, two of my favorites, Robin and Marina and the Diamonds. You know, Robin got some radio airplay, but Marina got almost zero radio airplay in the U.S.
Right.
But despite that, she was able to really build a following in America and do really well for herself. Like, the last time I saw Marina in concert, she played at the Shrine here in Los Angeles, which was sold out. And that's 5,000 people. Like, she did that without radio. Just imagine if radio had gotten behind her.
Yeah, at this point, when radio becomes a part of the equation, that just solidifies everything. I think, if anything, it's great that people can now break in so many different ways, whether it's through an online following or you know, Vine. There's so many different ways. And then if you can still get radio, that can totally take you home and make you as big as you can be.
But I still think you need it, unfortunately. Like, I think it's essential.
Yeah.
You know, look, another example. I love Years and Years. Their song King was a huge international smash last year, except in America. Like, I just don't understand how a song can be a hit everywhere around the world except the U.S.
Yeah, you know,
like, what is up with that?
The U.S. has always been a little less open to dancey pop. Some of those sounds that they're sometimes are bigger in Europe and not in the U.S. And that's kind of a perfect example. Marina and the Diamonds, too, kind of that ethereal pop. It doesn't always work as well in the U.S. It just must be a culture taste thing, I guess. I'm sorry about that. You're in the wrong country, Prez.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Apparently.
No, but I do believe that if given the opportunity that people really do want new music. If radio did all of a sudden start playing a bunch of variety, true variety of new music, in addition to the hits, I don't think people would tune out. I don't think they would change the station. If it's a good song, they're going to stay tuned.
Yeah, you know, that's a battle that it's not even just a discussion of now. That's long been a discussion about radio, and it's always the battle between labels trying to get radio to play more, and the radio station's job is to get ratings by playing the hits. So there's always that back and forth, and I think true music fans always, like you, like me, always wish that radio would play a little bit more new music. So there's your vote. Your vote hopefully counts if radio.
It would only help them, because if they help break more artists, then they have more people that owe them favors that will play at all of their events and their Christmas concerts and their summer concerts and all of that stuff.
Prez, as a charts fan, I want to make sure you know that you're a part of Hot 100 history in a couple different ways.
I am?
Well, sort of. You were in the video for Rihanna's S&M.
Yes, that was amazing.
You played Rihanna.
I would happily beat her bitch anytime.
I was going to say pet on a leash, but...
Or that.
So you've been number one that way. If we consider you as a part of the video, you've had a number one hit that way, very indirectly, but a part of it. And the other part is you were on Glee. You guessed it on Glee, and I'll test your chart knowledge, Prez. Do you know what record the Glee cast holds in Billboard Hot 100 history?
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, they had a ton of charting singles and compilations, but I don't know what one record they hold.
No, you're on the right track. They hold the record. for the most Hot 100 hits by any act all time. They had 207 Hot 100 hits.
Wow. Yeah. I recently saw a stat that maybe Aretha Franklin is definitely in the top five, right?
She still has the most Hot 100 hits among women. Taylor Swift is close to passing her.
Yeah, and Taylor, I saw that. So it's like, yeah. So
yeah.
Taylor Swift had something like 80-something.
Yeah, I think it's 73 to 69.
But Taylor's still so young in the trajectory of her career, and I think she's going to have just a whole bunch more.
Yeah, and it's a different time, too, because album cuts can chart on the Hot 100. In the past, they couldn't, but...
Yes. Although I do, and I'm not to discredit, discrediting anybody else, I love that I think almost every single one of those charting singles for Taylor Swift, it was just her as the only artist without
right.
anybody else featured. And probably the same is true with Aretha, but nowadays, you know, a lot of, like Rihanna is the queen of collabs, and probably I would say almost even the majority or close to the majority of Rihanna's hits are, you know, featured on that person's song, or her with this person, or that person, or whatever, you know?
I just want to get into you as a person overall for a few minutes, because I'm sure a lot of people listening, they know how you got started. They know that it's not a secret that you've attracted negative attention over the years. And, you know, from everything I've read, it was about 5 years ago, you kind of had a change of heart about... Where you said you didn't want to be nasty to people. You kind of changed everything, and bullying was a part of that. You saw how that had become so much more prominent. Is that pretty accurate to say that you look at how you started a little bit differently now as opposed to when you first became a name?
Absolutely. I mean, I have tons of regrets. I wish I could do so many things differently, and I actually would. You know, a lot of people would say, oh, I wouldn't do anything differently because it all led me to where I am. But it truly makes me feel more than just sad. Like, I feel shame and regret that along the way I purposefully caused pain and hurt to other people for, you know, attention and page views. With age comes confidence. Like, I am confident now that I could have still and would have been successful without having to do all of that. But when I was younger, I didn't know better. And, you know, there's that great quote from Maya Angelou, when you know better, you do better. And there just came a point where I said, you know what? People are viewing me in a certain way, and that's not who I really am. That's not who I am in my heart, and I need to stop hiding behind this character that I created and show the world the real me. And that's what I've been trying to do over the last few years.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm looking at your Instagram and Twitter, and we just think you're the most normal family man who's maybe not even involved in pop culture at all. You post a lot of pictures of your two really adorable children.
Well, I'm a proud dad, and I think that's what normal parents do. They post kids' photos.
Are there still a lot of celebrities who you don't have a good relationship at this point because of what you may have written snarkily in your blog or on your website? Or have you made up with a lot of people? Have a lot of people made up with you? What's your status overall, would you say?
Well, I mean, yes, and yes to both. I have made up with a lot of people. And I still upset people just by sharing my opinion. Perfect example, last month in June, I went to Vegas to see a couple of shows. I saw the Mariah Carey Vegas show and I saw the J-Lo Vegas show. And I expressed my opinion that I enjoyed the Mariah Vegas show better, and J-Lo's camp was not happy with that because they had arranged a meet and greet, and then they weren't happy that I, quote, trashed the show. But I didn't trash the show. I just said I enjoyed the Mariah one better, and I gave the reasons why. And I said I still enjoyed the J-Lo show, but having seen both on consecutive nights, this is why I enjoyed this one better. And they were not happy with me, and then I was bummed by that because, oh gosh, I'm bummed. I genuinely love J-Lo.
Yeah, is it weird now, too, when some of these celebrities you may have written about, maybe not in the most flattering light, as you've become a celebrity yourself, you've gotten to know a lot of them. Has that caused any weirdness with you? Like, maybe you didn't think at the beginning that you would get to know these people.
it definitely causes weirdness, and it's definitely difficult at times, but I've also changed my thinking a lot in that I don't view celebrities as my friends. Some of them might be really good acquaintances, and maybe some of them might be friends, but I still have a job to do, and I'm not going to start censoring myself if I'm not being mean or nasty, and I wasn't in my review of J-Lo's show. I mean, a few years ago, I went to go see Madonna in concert. She's my number one, my ultimate idol, and right. I even made a video where I said, Madonna plays guitar too much in her show. And you want to know how she responded to that? She invited me the next night to her concert again to see it. And then in the middle of her show, she dedicated a song to me on guitar.
Has Gloria Estefan brought you back up on stage since you were six?
She has. It was amazing. It was also a magical moment. She not only brought me up on stage, she brought my mom up on stage, just the two of us, to dance and sing the conga with her. I've been able to just do the most amazing, magical things in my life, and I'm so grateful for everything. And some of my most prized possessions are many of the gold and platinum plaques that artists have sent me. I have a lot of them in my collection. I have a couple from Adele. I have a couple from Lady Gaga. I have one from Amy Winehouse, one from the Jonas Brothers, one from Eric Hutchinson, one from Icona Pop. I'm trying to think of which other ones I have. A few. The Bieber one as well.
Do you have a good relationship with Bieber?
I used to, but he makes it so hard to like him now. I love his talent. I don't like how he behaves a lot of the time. And yes, he's only 22, but, you know, a lot of 22-year-olds don't behave how he behaves, even the ones that are in the spotlight. He's living his life and doing what he wants, but at the same time, I just know he has such a real talent, and why would you want to, like, have people think of you in a negative light? Like, Selena Gomez, his ex-girlfriend, she's making so many right decisions these days, and she's still living life and having fun, but doing it in a smart and cool way.
Well, it might be just like the same for you, Perez. Just time, maturity, a different perspective.
Yeah. True.
You
I also do miss the pre-social media days when it was just different. I absolutely think one of the problems for Bieber is social media. Like, he needs to just take several steps back, post a lot less, and live his life a little bit more.
So you're telling someone that they should be in the pop culture spotlight less, but Perez Hilton just said that.
Yes, absolutely. I'm fully honest all the time to everybody, even Taylor Swift. I was talking about this on my podcast this week. My co-host says, you love Taylor Swift too much. You can't be honest with her. I said, yes, I can, and I'm honest to her face. I was able to go see her stadium tour last summer, and she wanted to say hi afterwards, which I was very flattered by, and I went and I spoke to her, and this was right after the Bad Blood music video, and I told her, oh my gosh, this needs to be the end of this album cycle, and take a break, and then release a new album in the fall or winter end or fourth quarter 2016. And she's like, no, I'm releasing another single. And then she goes and releases three more singles after Bad Blood. Seven singles total. That was three too many. I mean, sure, Wildest Dreams did well. But I really would have preferred, I mean, whatever, I'm not the artist, but she would have gone out on a much bigger high and left people really wanting more after Bad Blood, and then given them more space and been less in the spotlight. And then her comeback would have been even bigger. Like, she's not taking that much of a step back, which could backfire, but I don't think it will, just because I think there is no smarter musician in the game right now than Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And Adele clearly is not even playing the game, So she's in a league of her own.
Well, those are like the two opposite ways to play it. You can, there's the two extremes right there, the mystery of leaving people wanting more, and the opposite being, here I am every day, here's a new Instagram pic.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Taylor is very smart because she doesn't do it every day, and she is still very visible in public, but not like Justin Bieber, who... He normally posts 6 photos a day or something like that. It's just too much.
We might know more by the time this posts on Billboard.com, Perez. But at the moment, as we tape this on July 6th, what's your take on Hiddle Swift?
Well, I think that she will join him in New Zealand, I believe, is where they're filming the new Thor movie. She's got time off, and she's going to make the most of it. They've already been all over the world together, from Rhode Island to the UK to Italy. So I think, you know, she deserves a break, and she needs one, I think, and so does the public. Because I think she's such a phenomenal talent. I don't want her to come back unless or until she's ready to top what she just did. You know, unfortunately, it didn't pan out that way for Katy Perry. Her last album did well, and the tour did exceptionally well, but by all accounts, it didn't do as well as Teenage Dream. Whereas with Taylor Swift, from the beginning of her career, every single album, she's managed to top herself.
Yeah.
And each one has grown and been bigger and bigger and bigger. And I still think she has the potential and ability to do that at least one more time.
There are, you know, there are only so many artists who can sell enough albums at this point to really make a living on a huge level in terms of income they can make. What's your view of all that?
Maybe I'm just old. Not maybe, I'm definitely old. I'm 38, and I remember when people paid for music, and I still pay for music. The songs that I enjoy and the albums that I enjoy, I buy them on iTunes, even if I get free copies. And also, that's just because I'm lazy, and sometimes like downloading the free copies I get from labels is a pain in the butt. So it's quicker for me to just buy the album or EP or single on iTunes. And I also like buying it because I want to support those artists, and I feel it's an important message and reminder to people that you need to pay for this. And I don't think that streaming is the answer. I think actually streaming is hurting the music industry. It's a temporary fix, but I ultimately think the best way to fix music and to fix the industry is to have all the labels in conjunction with the government say, you know what? No more streaming. Sorry. And we're going to crack down on people then who start illegally downloading. People will find out you're going to get fined if you do it too much. You can, you know, be sued. If you do it way too much, you can go to jail.
I don't know that you can undo the tide, Prez, of streaming. The whole generation has now grown up conditioned to stream music, hopefully pay the $10 a month. But I don't know if
not even
if you can go back.
I bet you the majority of the people that listen to Spotify listen to the free service. I mean, I don't know the actual stat on that one, but the young people probably don't even want to pay to stream.
Right.
They want to stream for free.
Well, then it's a matter of changing the subscription the model as opposed to getting rid of streaming. It's finding a way to compensate artists, which has been a part of music history for decades.
I just think, as Adele has proven, as Taylor Swift has proven, if the music is good, people will buy it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think one of the best and most amazing stats about Adele was not only the volume of albums she sold, but people are still buying physical CDs.
Right.
I think more than half of hers were physical CDs sold.
Well, she's the interesting case because we always say her appeal is ages 8 to 80, and there just aren't that many acts. You know, Celine Dion used to be like that in the 90s. People who could appeal to the younger audience and the adult consumers.
I know.
Well, I love that you're a big big music fan, Perez. I think a lot of people listening may not have realized that. And going back to 6 years old when it started, you've never stopped doing the conga since then.
No, and I do it every day. I love music. Even today, when we're taping this podcast, it is International Kissing Day or International Kiss Day, and Snapchat has these few actually filters for it. And literally, I hear the word kiss, and 30 songs come to mind. So I just had to do like a few lip sync videos to that theme. I interpret the world through song.
Well, that is great. What's next for you? I know you had said at one point a few years ago you wanted to retire by age 35, but obviously we're past that. What's in your future?
Well, I'm doing my podcast and really enjoying that because the feedback I've gotten from people is just really special, as I'm sure you've discovered. Like, there's something about people that consume this media, which is longer form,
right,
where you form a really special bond with folks. So I'm running the podcast, and if you want to check mine out, it's play.it/Perez, or on iTunes, it's the Perez Hilton Podcast. So I've got that. It comes out once a week. We've been doing it a year and have not missed a single week. We don't take time off. I'm also I'm doing a lot of acting, which is super fun. Tonight, so it'll have happened, but I'm on more than one episode. So tonight I'm on an episode of Another Period on Comedy Central, which is kind of like an American spoof of Downton Abbey. And I'm going to be on a second episode later this summer. I'm also going to be having a fun little cameo in the AbFab movie, and that comes out later this month in the U.S. as well. And I've got a lot of more fun acting things that I'm doing. It's not even almost. It's a complete 360, because when I was a little 18-year-old boy from Miami, I went to school at New York University's Tisch School of the Arts to study acting, and I got sidetracked along the way. So it's really nice to get to do my day job, which I still love, and I'm so thankful for that. I get to enjoy what I do on the daily, and it's great then also that I get to, you know, act again and do all these other things for fun.
Do you ever take time off, Perez? I know you. We said you have a lot of, you know, pictures you're posting with your kids. Do you have normal family downtime?
Yes. I mean, I work every single day, even on my days off and even on vacation. But what's great is I get to work from home, so I'm around my kids all the time, and I definitely make sure to take a lot of breaks throughout the day to do things with my children, like play break, or I try to give them every single night their baths and bedtime. And we have a pool in my new house in Los Angeles. We moved back from New York City. We were there for 2.5 years, and I love the pool, and I try to get in with my kids almost every single day, because when you're in the pool, especially with young children, you are present. You have to be present,
right,
and there's no distraction, and it's a really special bonding time for us.
Well, this was really fun, Perez. It was fun to talk music with you. It's fun to hear that you own your past a little bit, some things you're not proud of, and you come right out and say, I could have been nicer about this. You really seem to be in a good place with yourself and how to treat people, and that's just nice to hear above everything else.
Well, thank you, and I'm a huge fan of everybody at Billboard. I know a lot of people that work there, and I'm honored to be on your podcast, so thank you.
Whenever you want to come back, Perez, discuss the charts, happy to have you.
Well, let's do it. Call me again in a few months.
Happy summer. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Perez.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.